Ladies and gentlemen, The Bachelor is back. It's season 24, and it's time to get ready for a very hairless, shaved after show. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
let's go!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Bachelor, Season 24, Episode 1, starring Peter Weber. Pretty giddy in studio today, guys.
So good.
Quickly, I'm going to introduce myself and the panel, y'all. My name is Jeff Graham. I am thrilled to be joined by... Is he the king of our reality TV AfterBuzz After Shows by now?
Really?
I think maybe.
So. I'll take it. This is such a great season right now because all the relationships up his back.
Yeah.
Married at First Sight, Bachelor, we got Love Island.
Are you a 90-day guy? Do you 90-day?
I like it a lot, okay. But I don't cover it for us here. Yeah.
All right. Well, of course, that is the voice of Mike Thieling.
Hey,
and I'm also joined by our news queen, our Perez Hilton brilliant professor, and I'd say kind of our Bachelor insider a little bit.
For sure.
Jeff.
Christina Alexis.
What's up, guys? I'm so happy to be back. Another season in the books with you guys.
Yes.
So
I'm hyped.
And
I'm hyped, of course.
I'm your dummy wearing a sleeveless quarter zip sweater, Jeff Graham. thrilled to be here today, guys.
Still not from Blue's Clues.
I know I have the Steve from Blue's Clues vibes, but they got someone else, a non-white guy, which is great. It's about time.
Hey.
Okay, we're going to talk about this show. Of course, if this is your first time tuning into the AfterBuzz After Show for The Bachelor, we are your definitive after show, recapping everything Bachelor all the time. This is Peter Weber's season 24, episode 1. Of course, he's coming off of the heels of a broken heart with Hannah Brown, whom we got a lot of tonight. But we're not only breaking down the episode, we do have a special segment and possibly some news. We've got a lot to cover, though, because this is a 3-hour episode.
Nuts.
Speaking of this 3-hour episode, Christina Alexis, overall, how did you feel with this episode of The Bachelor?
Overall, it was a pretty good night one. I will say, despite it being 3 hours, I felt like we moved along pretty quickly with this. And I'm going to give that to the girls for keeping it super entertaining all night long. I got to say, I'm already really impressed with this crop of women, and I'm excited.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'll get really picky as we go through. I wanted some more interesting introductions, I thought, out of the limo. Some of that was kind of lame. And also, you know, I don't know. I feel very quickly I'm going to have my fill of puns and windmills and pilot stuff. And definitely Hannah. So, I don't know. Overall, though, agree. Moved quick, so it was good.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah, it's never ending.
Off the wings of this episode.
Jeff's going to wing it. It's like,
so much. So aggressive. Overall, for a 3-hour episode of TV, I was pretty entertained. We got a lot of quintessential premiere moments, a lot of can I steal him for a second?
Of course.
A lot of champagne-fueled tears, and a lot of Hannah Brown, which I'm not exactly sure how I feel about yet, but I'll be interested to discuss it with you guys. I do want to quickly say, as you guys can see, Renee is not at the table. Unfortunately, she will not be with us permanently this season, but we are hoping to have her fill in and guest here and there. I know we miss Renee just as much as you guys coming in with those hot takes, but I'm excited to say that we are going to be having Rachel Swindler join.
Mm-hmm.
But if you guys are fans of our show, you've seen her on the panel before, and if any of y'all are Big Brother fans, you caught her in season 19, season 20? One of them. You tell me if you're a Big Brother fan, but Rachel's great. She's an excellent host and loves The Bachelor, so she's going to be amazing to fill
in. Two Big Brothers ago.
I also want to quickly shout out our producer, Vito, in the booth.
Hello, everybody.
Virgin
glad to be here.
Bachelor viewer.
Yes. Vito popped his Bachelor cherry tonight, watched it with us. And Vito, I think you might be a convert.
It's yet to be said, but I think I'm coming close. It's a very interesting first episode of what seems to be a mess of a season.
Vito, as someone who's never seen anything Bachelor before, what was it like to watch this 3-hour episode of season 24?
So I clocked in every now and again to be able to see it, but I wasn't able to watch the whole thing. What I saw of it, though, was really incredible. I'm very invested into already the few girls that we have seen come and go, but I don't know. All the Hannah Brown stuff is kind of losing me. I'm not going to lie.
Fair enough. Well, it's fun to watch Vito slowly get converted to a Bachelor fan.
It is fun.
And Mike, we got the chat popping tonight. Who's
the
here with us tonight?
The chat's going nuts. You guys are flooding us as always. We love seeing you. You know you are our extended panel. Over 100 people viewing us right now. Rachel, Theo, Sheena, Miss Brown Sugar, Caitlin, Sailor Pony Topics, Kate C, Amitz. That's all the people I can see right now. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to try to get your comments in as we can, but this is a full episode, guys, so we got to start breaking it down.
And for those of you on the East Coast, thanks for joining us late. I know it's like 11 p.m. in most of the country, so we appreciate it.
You guys are diehards. Stay up with us.
We love it.
Most people in the chat, though, guys, over Hannah.
I have to agree, though.
That's the predominating theory.
We're going to get to the
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hannah stuff sentiment. Probably near the end of our discussion, but I'm just going to go chronologically. So we're going to talk first about how the show chose to introduce Peter.
Yeah.
You can tell ABC is doing everything they can to make Peter feel as much not a white guy as they can.
That's true.
They come in and it's like, he makes Cuban food and he speaks Spanish with his grandma.
His family dances every dinner.
I know. You don't think they do Cuban dances around the... I will say, though, whether or not it was produced or... actually sincere, it is nice to see them trying to at least paint us a version of a bachelor who's not just like cookie cutter white dude like me.
Yeah, because for all intents and purposes, Peter is that cookie cutter white
dude. Exactly.
He has that super like California boy, like, yeah, you know, I like to fly planes and I love the beach, let's do stuff.
He's so Cali,
but then having that little Cuban flair in there, as soon as we started watching it right away, I was like, oh man, they're laying it on thick. Remind us that he's not just fully white.
Yeah.
But then that was kind of lost pretty much right after that intro.
Yeah.
Just back to him being his cookie cutter sweet boy self.
Well, they're trying. We'll give them credit for that.
I will say where I see the push for diversity as well is in the cast this year.
We've got
some ladies of color across the board. So I definitely like to see that. I know we talked a lot about the fact that it wasn't going to be Mike and the kind of women that we would have potentially seen the producers cast for him. So it's nice to kind of still see, you know, a small push towards diversity.
Yeah, a great group of girls this season, yeah.
Well, that leads to our first girl in terms of the introductions. I'm just going to shout out some of these pre-packages that we meet before the mansion.
Yep.
I like Alexa, who waxes vaginas for a living. That's how she introduced herself. I like her.
I love Alexa because right off the bat, she has beautiful natural curly hair.
Yeah.
She's so stunning. She's unlike any other contestant I've seen, especially a woman of color who's just... appears to just be unapologetically herself, you know, just right off the bat. And she really impressed me right away.
I thought she was about to deliver a baby, but they really went in a different direction with it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool, doctor, here we go. All right.
Not quite. I will say, other than Alexa, we get most of the other girls later in the episode.
Yeah.
Did any of these other pre-packages really stand out to you? Tammy the wrestler.
Victoria P, right off the bat for me.
Correct.
Victoria P, right off the bat for me. I mean... my heart goes out. I got a soft spot. Obviously, my wife is a nurse practitioner. She's also an RN. And just the fact that she had to take care of her younger sister with kind of the family troubles she talked about growing up. I mean, that's an amazing story. Super strong woman and successful. I liked it.
She really impressed me as well. And we have to talk about the fact that she's practically Demi's doppelganger.
Yes.
Sarah, when she put the glasses on, it's scary, right?
It's ridiculous. But she also is someone who immediately I felt connected to her story. I felt like she was genuine. And she's someone who I definitely have pegged to go really far.
And I love Demi, so.
Yes. But definitely not a Demi energy. It's definitely
different.
Correct. Not Demi's energy.
Yes.
Although Demi had like a heartfelt story too. Like her mom being in prison. And
that's a good point.
You know, her they upbringing. Both have...
She reacted to it very differently though. Demi was like, my mom's in prison. Let me take a call from her right now. I'll do a package. Hey, mom.
Yeah.
And if I may just jump in, Kelly as well. Really impressed me. But made an immediate impression because we knew she had already met Peter.
Right.
So I knew that was something to look out for the rest of the episode.
Kelly was a very interesting through line this whole episode.
Yes.
I have my thoughts on Kelly. I don't dislike her, but my knee jerk is that she's not great for Peter.
Mm.
But we'll get into it. Okay, so let's talk about these limo intros. Again, we had 30. I will say this was not the most exciting group of limo entrances for me. Where is the shark? Where is our female Waboom?
Yeah.
It was kind of nice.
Hold on.
Yeah,
are we really going to say that after What's-Her-Face popped out of a suitcase?
That was cool.
An actual suitcase.
She didn't, though. Peter had to get her out of it.
That's true.
Right.
The box guy exploded out of the box.
But like, come on. I would like to see a guy try and pull that. There's no way.
Yeah, Mike, I love that your reason for it not being cool is that she couldn't unzip herself from the outside.
In a freaking suitcase.
She didn't even have the outgoingness to walk and to see Peter, he had to come and open the bag for.
You're right. She's weak. That was Kiara, which he did send Kiara through. And I will say, to Peter's credit, he didn't only pick the white girls come rose ceremony, which is great. We'll get into that in a minute. A couple really cringy limo entrances. I got to say.
My favorite.
Your girl.
I was a little grossed out that NBC pushed this. You've got to see my shaved hair. I can't even say it. I'm too embarrassed to say
ABC.
It. What did I just say?
You said NBC. NBC. Sorry
NBC would have let that through.
I know. The fact that parent company Disney is airing shaved, hairless, P-U-S-S-Y on network TV, that just straight up made me feel uncomfortable.
It was too much for you?
Too much for me.
Your dad vibes were tingling?
My dad vibes were tingling hard. I don't know if you can see what I'm wearing right now, but yes.
It didn't make me uncomfortable, but to me, it's like the most lowbrow humor possible. I know Kat is coming and she's going to show her pet, right? It's just lame.
I think, though, tied for worst joke of the night would have to be Victoria F.
It's my girl.
Your girl.
I love her.
Because
she's beautiful.
She made such a terrible, like, dirty joke and then laughed through it. So it made it even more
awkward. But she didn't even make the joke. She didn't make the joke.
She did.
He, like, finished it. And then it was so bad he didn't even remember it when they got back together. And
she retold the bad.
Don't just abort. Talk about your family or something. It's like taking advantage of time.
This was rough. And let's just talk about Victoria F. quickly, because not only was this the cringiest intro ever, but she seemed a little lit. And it's never good when the girls drink too much.
Yes.
But she just kept doubling down on this I'm not dry joke. And she's like, it's just all I can talk about. And it's like, girl, when you're meeting a new guy, talk about something else.
Other than how lubricated you are.
It's so bad.
While you're actually lubricating yourself.
I know, just doubling down on that was rough.
It's a strange pun joke to make.
I know.
Maybe someone told her to do it and be funny.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all.
I know from experience, a little insider tea from my sister, like the producers do talk to you before the limo entrances to kind of get an idea of what you're thinking. And they kind of use that to decide where you'll be in each limo and how you'll come out. Mm. And they do kind of help you out a little bit here and there. So my guess is Victoria F. was maybe one of the last to go. And she was like, all right, I'm going to wing it again. Yeah, we need to take a shot every time we do another airplane pun. Actually, here's a better idea. Every time we make a good airplane pun, just give us a like or throw
love
us a comment.
It.
Let's
love
do
it.
That.
Help decrease the turbulence on our after show.
Oh, another one.
Any intros really stand out for you guys? Specifically?
Anybody's
intros? I have to give it to Madison for coming in on a paper plane.
Yes.
I love her so much.
Madison's an easy... We said it the entire episode, guys. Tell us what you think in the chat. Madison's an easy front runner. I mean, she's just seems to be hitting all the right notes right off the bat.
Totally.
Honorable mention before we move on for these intros is Jenna for bringing an emotional support cow.
I mean, Ashley P. One of the stars of this episode.
Oh, hands down.
By far.
Love Ashley P.
Okay. The fact that you remember her name over, 50% of the girls says something.
I just love, as this show continues to get more and more self-aware.
Absolutely.
To name the cow Ashley P. is just so brilliantly produced.
Well done.
Well done.
I mean, guys, seriously, we have a lot to cover, but what are the odds that Ashley P. is in paradise? It's like
she'll be around.
Like something. This cow is coming back, or maybe it's a pony.
I know. There was the pony confusion.
Man, those girls were...
I love Jasmine that she spoke Chinese.
That was cool.
What did we think? I saw some people in the chat. What do we think of Savannah's blindfolded kiss? It didn't come off right to me.
I didn't like it either.
Savannah, she kind of seems like maybe a budding villain a little bit, or overly emotional. I don't think Savannah had a great showing this episode.
And then I also want to point out, because people are saying in the chat, what do we think right off the bat? Boom, 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 three in a row, flight attendants.
Well, first of all, RIP, Eunice was going to be my girl purely because her name was Eunice. And I didn't know anyone under the age of 70 in this country was named Eunice. So I really wanted her to go far.
I know a Eunice.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, God bless you. I loved Eunice. I think all the flight attendants went, right?
They did.
Ooh.
Peter must have been like, no, we're just not going down that route whatsoever.
I almost think he would have felt like too obligated to keep them longer. It's like, oh, we have that flight thing going on. He's probably like, I'm not feeling it. Let's just cut the cord.
Sure.
Maybe he has a turbulent history. Cut the cord. Drop the oxygen mask. All right. that didn't even make sense. Okay, so let's talk about front runners right off the bat during the cocktail party.
Yeah.
Clearly, Hannah Ann Sluss. Which isn't a great name once you say it in full, but she definitely is coming out hot. A lot of interruptions. how do we feel about Hannah Ann? She gets first impression. What are our thoughts?
Hannah Ann, man, she knows what she's doing. That girl's playing the game. I think she comes off really, like, innocent, sweet, demure, like, to Peter, but knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
I think for as much drama as she started tonight, I will give it to her that she seems really confident in who she is. Like, she's not going to let anyone else intimidate her out of getting to her goal. And Peter's clearly sweet on her. So I'd say by all accounts, she's checking off all the boxes right now.
Who did she interrupt both times?
Is it Cheyenne? I think it's pronounced Cheyenne. And correct us on that if we're wrong.
Yeah, that was pretty rugged. Deandra, the two of them got into it. I liked it. Yeah, I mean, and hey, I talk about really going for it, right? Everybody knows I treat Bachelor kind of like a reality competition. I say you got to get in it. The first night, you really got to make that impression, because I honestly think half the time when they get down to it, it's like, they're standing in front of 30 strangers, right? It's like, I can barely remember talking to you or you. So unless I'm ridiculously attracted to you, I'm probably just going to pick the people I talk to the most.
Yeah. Mm. Hannah Ann's a really interesting one for me, because I feel like we've seen versions of her before that are like villainous right away. But there's something about her where I feel like she doesn't exactly fit the sort of archetype of bachelorette villain who comes in too strong. Because I will say that conversation with Cheyenne, I don't know if she was fronting, but I kind of believed her when she was like, yeah, I get it, but like, you go talk to him. I felt like she was pretty reasonable there.
This is another bachelorette trope.
Yeah.
Every single season, we see somebody whining and complaining to the other contestants that I haven't had my time yet.
I know.
Well, instead of doing that, go interrupt them
and fault.
Get your time.
Exactly.
Real quick, Jay Telkin in the chat, is Hannah the new Luke P?
Hannah Ann.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Not that bad?
Honestly, Hannah Ann kind of reminds me of Hannah G. And the reason is because I really wanted to put Hannah G in a box and just assume she was a basic influencer girl. But I think Hannah Ann is maybe sort of, you know, a little simple. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but she seems nice enough. I don't know. I never got too catty of vibes from her.
I think someone's going to pop up like that, though.
Yeah. I don't know. She's an interesting
Hannah
one.
Ann. I mean, I agree, though. I really felt like she stood her own tonight in that conversation with Cheyenne. And it actually made me respect her a little bit, because I couldn't find anything wrong with what she was saying. It's like, well, yeah, she did steal the time. But like, literally, that's the name of this game.
Go get it.
Again,
get
Cheyenne is acting like she's never seen this show.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. Girl, go for it.
The thing I hated that Hannah Ann did, though, that made me want him to just boot her out then, was Hannah Ann came back for one more little kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, you're going to third person it.
And the fact that he missed her.
Like, a gift? A gift? Oh, yeah. That just didn't really play. But other than that, I don't dislike Hannah Ann. I'm not sure I like her yet, but I don't objectively dislike her.
I also would like to point out that the cringy kisses that we keep saying are like, eh, I don't think Peter really minds them.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever.
He likes to smooch.
But we also said this while watching it, that Peter is a yes man. Like, I feel like he definitely gives people, he's very gratuitous with his reactions. He's better than Ari, instead of being like, that's so awesome. Like, he's like, yeah, this is great. But I really want to, I can't wait till we get later in the season when we really start to see his preferences come out a little bit more. I think he's still playing really nice to everybody.
I agree.
Well, we'll get into it, but the whole yes man vibe is literally the whole point of the last 15 minutes of the episode, right?
Yeah.
If he wasn't, he'd shut her down right away. Anyway, jumping ahead.
Yeah, he needs to, not necessarily grow a pair, but he needs to really figure out who he is and what he wants. Because if he keeps saying yes to all these girls as the show continues, it's going to get dicey. Kind of a little bit Ben Higgins-y in that way.
Like, very PC with everybody. Like, yeah, trying to be like,
if you're too sweet to everyone, you don't make clear who your frontrunners are, which might make for great TV, but he's got to guard these girls' hearts, as we say.
Yeah, so, Jeff, just to chime in real quick, being not a Bachelor watcher, that is actually the thing that I want to happen the most, is to see him kind of feel the fault of being that yes man. Because I can see him kind of like trying to get to all these girls and trying to be like, oh, you're the one. And I think that's going to screw him over in the end.
Vito, you're already going way too deep with Bachelor, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's right.
I
think that's a potentially very accurate prediction.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But I guess I didn't even ask quickly before we talk about more girls. How do you guys think Peter did overall this episode as the lead? Do you guys think he's owning it?
I think he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think he's doing good.
I mean, he's kissed a quarter of them already at this point. He's definitely having a lot of fun. it seemed like he was nice and fair. And, you know, he didn't seem as nervous as other first-time bachelors and bachelorettes to me.
Yeah, and I think with Peter, the thing that I'm going to watch the most with him this season is definitely body language. I mean, men are definitely more physical forward with their attraction and showing it that way. But since he is such a yes man and seems to be, like, saying all the right things to everybody, I'm looking out for those physical touches, those moments of reassurance that he gives select girls, because I feel like that's where we're really going to see his preferences.
It's really sharp. I think that's a really accurate observation. A couple more cringy cocktail party moments. The battle of the paper airplanes between McKenna and Natasha. And yes, I know her name is McKenna, but it's spelled like McKenna. So I'm going to call her McKenna for the rest of the season. How did you guys feel about McKenna versus Natasha?
I like McKenna a lot. I think she's an easy front runner. I like her a lot. I love that she was making out with him. And then Natasha came up and was like, nah, doesn't matter.
I feel like McKenna's going to get on my nerves. I'm sorry. Something about her just annoys me a little bit. We kind of pulled some, Cassie comparisons when we were watching
it. She's like if Cassie were a little more fun, is what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still just find her kind of basic. On the other hand, though, I love Natasha because I feel like she's going to be a dark horse. Those facial expressions.
Yeah, God. She's a mood. Is that how the youth say it? Natasha is a mood.
Natasha kind of creeps me out. There's something a little creepy. I'd totally give her the shot. Like, I'd like to see her personality and learn something more. But all I feel like we've gotten is this odd kind of looking at,
the camera shots are not kind to her.
No.
Yes, they're not.
I would take the rest.
Her edit feels a bit like, gosh, who's Guacamole Girl from Paradise this season? Who came in for one episode and passed out.
Tajwan.
She's getting a little bit of a Tajwan edit. Not quite so aggressive.
Eating
but
guacamole
just
in the pool and crying.
But she did coin Cats and Rats, which according to Chris Harrison is going to be a recurring motif this season.
I like that.
Cats and Rats, baby.
I like that.
All right. What else we got? I really am into Madison and his connection even during the cocktail party.
Love Madison.
Yep. She's the best. We're going to get more into Madison later. Tammy security checking his package. I don't think he loved that.
I don't know. It's like you're either going to go the windmill joke or like how many
something
more
airport.
Sex? Yeah, something airport. And then you
condoms.
Put them together, sex joke. Like, I'm tired.
The condoms were kind of corny too. Everybody pulling out condoms and
so
stuff. That was with the security
really
check.
Really aggressive. You know what I did really like was, is it Alea?
I think that's how you say her name.
Alea, it was smart to use the grandmother as an in.
She was good with that.
She was good. I really liked that. She seemed sweet.
Yeah, well, when they were talking, they played that, front runner music behind them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? This is a tender moment. Let's remember this later.
Yes.
But the letter is very, I do Mike's tips on Survivor. Here's Mike's bachelorette tips. The letter gives them a really solid reason to have a one-on-one during the dinner or during, the cocktail party that first night where impressions are everything.
Yeah.
And they're going to read the whole thing. He's got to read it because it's to him.
Yeah.
Right? And that'll leave a really big impression and really sweet.
I like the letter so much more than Hannah Ann's fake paint and sip.
Totally wine and painting. It was like someone was following along. You're following the teacher.
Gosh.
Everybody who's done
that. Canvas.
You know exactly what those things
are. But guys,
are.
It was kind of vulnerable. It was really personal for her to share that moment.
It was. But Nick Viall had me dying during the show. He goes, man, Hannah Ann and her dad must be watching a lot of Bob Ross.
I really like the letter. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because the letter allows somebody to brag about themselves and get a lot of qualities out about themselves without saying it. So it's just my grandma wrote this. Well, who knows if that's real, right? But she's so family oriented and just the love of, and I just love. Yeah.
If you guys are recurring viewers, you know that Mike's always about game.
Yeah.
So I love that.
You gotta win this, okay?
Always watching that game.
Plays the game.
Okay. Anything else from the cocktail party before we move on to Rose?
Besides the fact that Hannah arrives and is a fake out very early on about her joining the house. A
lot of Hannah this episode.
A lot of Hannah.
Hannahs.
Okay, Rose ceremony, nothing huge. Disappointed and surprised to see that Marissa went home. Was that her name?
Yeah.
They had a secret handshake, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, no one super surprising didn't make it through.
Made it by the skin of her teeth. Victoria F.
Oh. I did have to crack up because Katrina was like, I just wish I would have been more aggressive. And it's like, the girl who's talking about her P-U-S-S-Y on the very first time you meet someone.
That's right.
I'm not sure aggression was your issue.
Yeah, slightly forward.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Okay. So group date number one.
Here we go.
I had to laugh. I really feel like these producers knew that they had this group of like 15 kind of indistinguishable new bachelorette suitors. So they were very specific about who they cast to be the female hosts leading the discussion here.
Yes.
I'm not sure charisma and hosting talent was necessarily the top priority.
To be fair, like, to not downplay those ladies too much.
Oh, they're badass.
We were joking about, one's like a Marine.
They have a Marine, like, and the other is the first female Blue Angel. Like, that's a big deal. Like, cool to them, but they're definitely... We're typecast out for...
Well, and even they said, they're like, why do they get the cute flight suits?
That's
and
right,
the
ones.
It's like
true.
Even the show and them knew they got totally screwed in that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see who's on this group date. I have it written down.
Well, who stood out to me early on this group date was Hannah Ann, again, because she made it seem like she and Peter were having their own one-on-one. She was sitting right next to him in their little flight school, and it made it seem like it was them and then everyone else just watching them have a date.
That's right.
So she, again, just like she did on night one, is playing the game, getting in that good quality time, and making sure that Peter associates these group moments with her first and foremost.
Yep. When you're walking somewhere, you're supposed to be holding hands with them. Yep. When you sit down, sit next to them. Exactly.
She also had the drink ready for him when he came back in the house. I don't know if you guys...
Here you go.
I got you this drink. Okay, so then they have this obstacle course, which consisted of... spinning around in an office chair, climbing up an inflatable ladder, and rolling into a pool of what was presumably vomit?
Well, wait, you really skipped through the mathematics and everything, which
Thank you.
We found out they can't divide.
Yeah. Actually, they divided pretty well.
That part
Victoria got
bad.
It. Victoria
I think
got
most of those
right.
girls got
well,
it.
Victoria P... To be clear on the Victorias here, she had a moment that I thought was very smart where she... may have potentially faked being nauseous to get some quality time with Peter.
Yes.
Ooh, did I miss that?
With the gyroscope.
Oh,
the gyroscope
was pre-obstacle course.
Yes.
Because
sorry, I'm going to jump back.
We had
math, then the gyroscope, and as the show so often does, we introduce a theme park-related trauma flashback.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
So I love that that's now a trope of the show, of let's find a theme park trauma moment from your past.
Like when you're applying to the show, has anything traumatic happened to you at a theme park?
Specifically
or roller
related.
Coaster? Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
The younger, the better.
We get this like blurry footage of the teacups.
Oh.
I love this. How do we feel like Victoria P was faking it, or was she really sick?
She didn't look bad when she came off of the machine.
She looked pretty good.
Yeah.
She looked good.
But
because I like her and I have her as a front runner, I was like, smart girl.
I like her too.
Even if it wasn't fake.
I will say the vomit was clearly a sound effect where she went and it was like,
yeah.
You can just tell that was post. Victoria P played this smart.
Yeah.
We can leave it at that. Okay, so this obstacle course, ridiculous.
Basically exactly how pilots train in the real world, Jeff. This is what they do.
That's what I've heard. Watching eight purely manicured women roll around on a giant silver mat and vomit was interesting.
I feel like the producers, when they first came up with this, said, okay, they're going to slide down the slide into the fake vomit, and then they're going to run and get the little boarding pass and then on to the next thing. And someone was like, what if we put giant fans in front of the boarding pass so they actually can't get to them?
So good. Kelly cheated.
She straight up cheated.
Hardcore.
I didn't think they were going to let her get away with that.
Of course they have to let her get
these
away
producers,
with it.
But there's
Mike.
No holds barred in Bachelor.
I know.
They gotta
plant the seed of animosity towards her.
Oh, for sure.
And that was like chef's kiss right
that's
there.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Somebody should have, hijacked somebody else, just completely pushed her over or something, anything.
So
sabotage.
So Kelly did get the flight with Peter. I will say they had some chemistry during that date.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the plane.
Yeah.
There was a Wi-Fi pun.
Yeah. I guess they had some chemistry. I don't see them as a match though. So to me it was like, really, she won?
We're gonna get into Kelly specifics with the other girls, but let's quickly talk Kelly and Peter. Obviously they've met before. They met in that very same hotel. Peter was there for a reunion, she was there for a wedding. I think that Peter is liking the fact that he knew her in advance. I bet they had like a fun drunken night. You know, when you're drinking, chemistry can be really easy to generate. I'm not sure they have a lot of it though. And I see honestly Nick Viall being interested in like a Kelly. She's kind of like a cool lawyer type, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't see that as being Peter's vibe.
I don't see her as his vibe either.
Yeah.
I think he's stuck on the familiarity that's there, the fact that he knew her going in. I don't see it going past that. I do see her being like really popping on Paradise, though. Like, I'm thinking way ahead. Yeah. Like, I don't even see her.
It's an easy go-to for him right now. Maybe she makes it a couple more rounds. I think there's potential. I wouldn't rule her out right away.
I just feel like, I don't dislike her. It almost feels like wishful thinking from both of them, really, when it comes down.
Kismet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I kind of wanted to hate her for a second when, at the cocktail party, she came back and stole more time from Cheyenne after having cheated on the date and all this stuff. But then I'm thinking about it. If I'm in her shoes and I had a connection with The Bachelor already, I'd totally be playing that up.
Oh, you have to.
You really can't blame her. The other girls might, but, you know, she's doing her due diligence.
Always be Cam.
She's playing smart. Besides cheating, do we feel like the cheating weighs on her integrity at all, or do you guys feel like she was playing smart?
What we have in the chat, do we think she was cheating on purpose or not?
I feel
or did
like
she not know where the cones were. It's probably like, fair.
I feel like she said it, she didn't really take the rules seriously.
Well, Cheyenne did.
I mean, at the end of the day, in fairness, we're talking about a reality show generated vomit pool obstacle course. So, like, maybe we're the ones who are off for like scrutinizing every detail of this. Like, she did not.
It's funny to me how hard Cheyenne went in on that. I followed the cones around the windmill, and she just went straight. It's like very specific.
I know, and Tammy too, and yeah. Let's talk about Cheyenne quickly. I mean, that girl needs to just kind of grow a backbone, right? I don't feel bad for her when she's the one. Well, let's talk about this very specific moment, because Cheyenne is having her one-on-one time with Peter. And who was it that walked in on her and Peter?
Kelly.
It was Kelly. It was
stole
Kelly.
The race and this was a stole Peter.
Fascinating moment, because Kelly says, "Can I steal him for a second?" Cheyenne pauses, kind of looks at Peter as a litmus test to be like, "I want you to say no." But of course, Peter doesn't say anything, so that clearly Peter's more into Cheyenne than Kelly.
Yeah, because what...
Sorry, switch that.
Opposite way. Yeah, I was disappointed in Cheyenne, I'm not sure how we're saying her name, for not sticking up for herself a little bit more and being a little more assertive in that situation, because you're already on a cocktail party date. That means you're not competing with half the girls in the house. Now, stand your ground between the like six other people that you're with, because now the odds are more in your favor and you're letting it go. And what happened after just showed, like you said, Peter really wanted Kelly more anyway, because that's where he starts to reassure her of their connection. He says, "I know you have a target on your back, but it's okay." I'm like, Peter.
Yeah. The wrong thing to do is to go to Kelly and say, "You know, you cheated in the race." Like, when she did that, I thought, don't do that. Just have fun. It's just supposed to be having more fun.
That was Tammy Moore.
It was both of them.
I didn't like either. So I didn't like it when either of them did it. You're supposed to just be having fun. It doesn't make you look good.
Yeah.
And then, you really got to defend yourself when you got the final one-on-one time. However, transitioning over to Kelly, it was a little bit awkward. He did reassure her, so that's where I saw some of the spark. But damn, when he was like, "All right, now I'm going to pick you up and put you on the..." I was like, "Whoa, we're really going for it here now."
Coming in hot.
We went from PUSSY to, you know, make out on tables and stuff.
It's an aggressive episode. She did get the group date rose.
Yep.
So clearly, at least at this point, the two are feeling each other. Any other big takeaways from this group date?
I don't think so.
Cool. Let's move on to the one-on-one with, so far, my favorite of the cast, Madison.
Talk about a one-on-one date right off the bat.
What do you love about Madison so much?
I like that she's an athlete. I think that's always a good sign, because if you're able to work on a team, that's the one thing with these pageant girls. I'm like, you are bred in an environment of individual competition, where you're in an environment where you're inherently competing against every girl in your life. Whereas with a team sport, you're competing against other teams, but you have to work together. And I think Madison has that energy. Mm-hmm. Love that she's close to her family. I don't know. I just think she's good looking. There's a lot to like about Madison. I liked her entrance.
It's a gut thing for me. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. Maybe we've watched this show so much, it just looks right.
Yeah.
It looks and feels right. The background music they're putting on, their interactions and things like that, the way they interact, the dates she's already going on. She did not win the first impression rose the first night. A lot of this stuff for me stacks up that makes me feel real positive about her.
Yeah. Well, I will say the three of us all kind of had the same reaction to her after watching the full episode, which was she has very 2020 Bachelorette vibes.
Yes.
And it's hard to put our finger on exactly why, because clearly she's going to go far, but I have this feeling she's not going to win. And she's the kind of personality that, at least right now, seems like she could carry a show.
I have to agree. I need to see her speak a little bit more. I need to see her get into some conflict with some other women. True. And see how she responds to that. Because usually, I mean, maybe Hannah Brown might be the exception to this, but the girls who end up being the leads are, like, usually very well liked through it and don't have too much drama early on. Like, Hannah B had the stuff with Kaylin, but she ended up being America's sweetheart.
So she was well liked in her clique.
She was well liked. And yeah. I agree with everything you guys said about Madison. And I think they bonded a lot on their date about, like, family. And what an appropriate date to bring her to.
Wow.
That was definitely, how would you guys feel about your first date being the vow renewal of your boyfriend's parents?
If I'm on a reality show, I'm like, yep, okay, got it.
Yeah. I was saying this the whole time. I was like, wifey, hello, put a ring on it now. To me, that's like, I see where this is going.
It's beyond a golden opportunity. You endear yourself to the family. Get in there, like, dance with grandma, dance with grandpa, have a great time, you know, drink, cake, all this stuff, whatever. Boom. Like,
all you need
big time.
Is one family member to be like, Peter, I like that girl. Where is she? You know, the totally. Cuban. Sorry, I'm trying.
I think you nailed it. Yeah. I was like, whoa, that's a ceremony. they both did a really good job. I mean, like, this could have been so awkward for how aggressive the implications of this date are. But
it's
they
all
both,
how Madison was going to make it.
Yeah, and she did a really good job. She was sweet. She played along. I just think she's really cute. And I think Peter did a great job. Also, Peter's family. I mean, come on. America's favorite family.
So adorable. I feel so bad for the little brother. Am I the only one that feels bad for this guy?
He's doing well.
Always in the background. Yeah. He didn't get to officiate the ceremony. He doesn't get to speak ever.
He's doing fine.
He'll get somebody who goes on Paradise.
His DMs are popping tonight. I promise you that much.
True.
Tennille Arts, Bachelor staple, shows up. Great to see them.
Jeff's
back.
Favorite.
Love Tennille Arts. But again, nice chemistry with dancing.
They get the she gets the rose.
Not surprising. I just think this was a great one-on-one.
Easy rose. Really good first one. Yeah,
strong first showing.
Very strong for, again, when there's still so many girls and he doesn't know a lot about everybody. Super strong.
I kind of like that Madison said, I really like you right now, but I also want to make sure that you're finding the person that's right for you. Mm-hmm. That was like a very generous thing to tell the lead.
Yeah, because I like her so much, I'm very worried that she'll potentially fall into this role where it's like, man, me and you had this strong connection early on, and then I don't know what happened. You know,
should I
get lost in the middle of the pack? So I really want her to get a little more assertive from here on out. She played it very well, but I think she could crank it up a little.
It's a good thing to say, and now's the perfect time to say it. Because if you say something that later, it can be misinterpreted as, you don't really like me, I should look at the other girls, as we've seen happen in the past, right?
That's a good point.
Get it right out now, and I'm your friend and genuine. The best one for you.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, finally, we're going to this final group date, which we presume is going to be some kind of, you know, monologue type of thing, which they always do. But immediately we see the silhouette of a windmill and of a Hannah Brown. And Hannah tells a pretty cringy, kind of non-illuminating story about her sex escapades with Peter in Greece.
About what we have all already seen already and could all tell the story again.
If I'm going to get shady for just a minute.
Yes.
Get shady.
All of this
Where's the
Hannah
sound effect
stuff,
for that, Beto?
Shade.
Shade, shade, shade.
All of this stuff feels a bit to me like Hannah Brown really likes attention.
No, what? Jeff, why are you talking about the winner of Dancing with the Stars in a negative light?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't know if this was like a net positive in my view of Hannah. But at the same time, I understand why she feels the way she does. But this just isn't the best look for her, whether or not she's serious.
Let me put it to
earnest.
You guys and also the chat. Please let us know what you think. Is this, weigh it for me, 80-20, 70-30, whatever, is it Hannah or is it ABC?
I'm going to go...
I'm sure both. I'm sure ABC's thrilled that Hannah's signing that contract, but I don't know. A lot of what Hannah was saying I found kind of frustrating.
In what way?
Move on. You let him go. I know it hurts and I know your heart is broken, but... you're not being fair to him.
Well, you're skipping to the end now, like the very conclusion,
kind of just
basically?
The all of it.
Yeah, I think honestly, the more we talk about it, I do think a lot of it was ABC because just from watching her on Dancing with the Stars, so much of her journey seemed about like shedding all that stuff, you know, putting that Bachelor stuff behind her. Granted, it was packaged for the show and part of her overall story, but I don't know. Like, it really bothers me to see Hannah in this light because I agree, it's not a good look for her. The latter half of the show annoyed the hell out of me. I was like, can we hurry up?
Yeah.
Because, again, rehashing old stuff and... Peter just so easily, like, was gobbling it up.
It feels like a big red herring to me, too. And my whole thing is, I want to get to know all these other girls. This is taking away from that. I want to see what's going on with them.
Right.
And what really annoys me at the end, specifically with her and Peter, is that she picked Peter third. Third. Mm-hmm. Not second. It's not like, you know, we're down to the final two and I picked you, but I made a mistake. It was third. So she got rid of him and then went on to the family things and stuff like that. So that's, it just... Again, in my gut, I'm like, ugh, I don't like it.
And it's a bad combination given the fact that Peter's a yes man. Again, it's this was the time when he kind of needed to be like, Han, I'm so sorry you're hurting, but like, this is my journey. But again, Peter's, his heart wants to support any emotional pain that's right in front of him.
Right.
Or that's just what we saw all episode. He's a nice guy, but if you're too much of the nice guy, it can be a problem.
Agreed.
We're getting close on time. Anything else with Hannah's appearance?
I mean, of course, we got to leave it on a cliffhanger like that.
Yes.
Are we going to do predictions later or else? Because I want to hear what you guys think she's coming back in the house or not.
Yeah, we're going to fly through our special segment quickly. We've got some tweets pulled up, I believe.
I'm trying to think before I say if it's accurate or not. But like, isn't it most of the time with the leads, like whoever broke their heart before potentially comes back towards the latter half of the season? They'll show up when it's down to like the final four or five and kind of either give them closure or... something, there's some sort of fake out. So it's making me wonder, maybe they're just getting it all out of the way now.
Yeah.
And making us hand it out and then just turn the page.
You know, to her power, the opposite of everything I just said, I liked the gesture of giving the wings back.
That was the nicest thing she did.
That was classy and sweet.
I really liked it. I was like, yeah, that he gave you that with a specific purpose and now he gets to give it to the girl he picks. I really like that.
Totally. We're going to quickly run through our special segment. Of course, this is Tweeting for the Right Reasons. Woo. If you guys hashtag Tweeting for the Right Reasons, we will look for your tweets. This first tweet I have, it's from me. It's the meme of the girl coyly smiling at the fire blaze she lit behind her. And the caption is, the producer setting up the post-date cocktail hour at the same hotel Peter and Kelly met. Pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty devious right there.
Yes.
I don't know that my tweet went through.
I don't think mine did either. It was something about Ashley P, though, for sure.
But I do want to shout out Sarah Broccoli on Twitter for tweeting me something. Check out that hashtag, Tweeting for the Right Reasons, for some funny tweets.
Love it.
Sweet.
Okay, quick predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Let's do winner, future Bachelorette, and Dark Horse.
Oh, okay.
I'll go ahead and go first. I think Hannah Ann's going to win. I, for some reason, have this feeling Madison's going to be our next Bachelorette. And I think Sarah, who was wearing the silver dress and said hubba hubba during her entrance, is going to make a nice kind of Jason Tartik-style ascension during the season.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so for winner, I have Hannah Ann. I'll go ahead and say my top four, though, was Hannah Ann, Victoria P., Madison, and Alaya. I see them going far.
Mm. Accurate.
Villains, I have Kelly and Courtney. Future Bachelorette, I agree, Madison. And my dark horse is going to be Savannah.
Nice. Okay. I kind of agree with Jeff, except that my dark horse is Victoria P. As much as I love Victoria F., because she's another Viviana to me, and I love them. But Victoria P, I love the nurses. I got to give it to her. I think she's super sweet. But I think we're all kind of in agreement. Hannah Ann, Madison have those on lock.
I think so.
That's a final two.
Well, of course, this is just episode one in a 10-episode season, guys. We're going to have Rachel here next week, some fill-ins, hopefully some guests. It's going to be an amazing season. But in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in with us. Again, this is your Bachelorette After Show. I forgot to mention it, but we are the ESPN of TV Talk. We cover just about everything on television. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, check out some of our other shows. Mike Thielen can scratch that guilty pleasure reality itch for you. If we'd really appreciate it if you guys would rate us 5 stars on iTunes for this podcast. We will read your review on air. Catch me on Twitter, Jeffrey C. Graham, and catch me every day on our reality channel with Bachelor News Daily Updates.
And you guys, in the meantime, you can catch me on Twitter at Christine Bean with 3 E's and on Instagram at Christine I. Alexis. I'm so stoked to be doing this with you. And a reminder that we are a spoiler-free podcast, so keep that in mind in the comments.
Ooh, that's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us in the chat. Terrence, Julie, Sheena, Nutella Nipples, Kate C, Shanice Sweetswile, Rachel Hand, Sarah Brooke, Amidst, Julie, Sailor Pony Topics. My name is Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
And just quick housekeeping, we are on the AfterBuzz main channel from here on out. So if you couldn't find us on reality or listening on the podcast, we're on just the straight AfterBuzz TV channel. Make sure you subscribe, because if you followed us on reality, you're not subscribed to this channel yet. Subscribe now. We'll see you next week. Love you guys. Bye.
Ashley Pete.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.